The very structure of modern agriculture is highly vulnerable to systemic failure. Crop production is not possible without cheap, abundant inputs of fuel and fertilizer. But both of those inputs are increasingly targeted by climate alarmists who don't seem to understand that a world without natural gas, diesel fuel, and fertilizer is a world of global starvation, depopulation, and collapse.
I would recommend that everyone start gardening, start raising chickens, start taking care of having food and water supply in the house. Understand that you cannot trust that your city will have it for you. It takes 3 days of electricity out and the pumps don't run to keep the water supply. So trust me, you need to figure out how you're going to deal with it when the city is not providing.
You can do something. I think this is going to be the day of food independence. You can grow stuff. All you need is a little garden box, but you can grow stuff. You're not a victim to what's going on unless you do nothing. And so I would encourage you, start yesterday and start growing things. Find things that are sustainable, because you don't have it's like food processing plants and food distribution centers. They didn't just become flammable. How do you have nearly 100 or so within our supply lines just all of a sudden have these kind of random acts? There's nothing random. This is a forced collapse of our system to bring you into a place of desperation. And I think we need to realize just how difficult this will be, because I think if you do, you don't need to be frightened, but you will be prepared. And when you add desperation and population density to an area where there's complete limited resources, morality goes out the window. I don't believe it's just survival of the fittest. I think in those moments when people are desperate, sadly, it can become survival of the evilest. What is man willing to do when his very life is on the line? And so I think that the truth is if you can, I would get out of population dense centers, because there is no capacity for self-sustaining there.
We live in a world where we've become habitualized on centralized agricultural production and distribution systems that bring us food on a daily basis. We've almost come to depend on it as a matter of faith. Give us this day our daily bread, without effort, without awareness. But the system is fracturing. The barges, the trains, the trucks aren't reliable. Farming inputs grow scarce, and the wise turn to decentralized local gardens and farms to grow their own.
The only way that you're going to get through this is to be growing your own food. Some of it, all of it, more of it than you can possibly eat, all of those are good options. The good news is you do not need an industrial, military, governmental complex to feed you. It's a surprisingly small amount of land that you need or have access to grow your own food, and you can grow a lot of it. It's what all of our ancestors have done throughout history. So, and they didn't have Google. They couldn't even read and write, and they knew how to grow food. You too can grow food, and it is going to be the only way that you're going to get through, certainly through the next decade and probably through the next years.
The world is losing its topsoil. And a lot of people out there, they don't spend much time thinking about soil, but 95% of the food that we eat comes from the soil. So if we don't have any soil, we don't have any food to eat. So that's a major problem. And so we've got a situation where, the world has already lost most of its topsoil. And it depends from area to area. But for example, here in the United States, it's been estimated that we've lost 60% or more of our topsoil, and it keeps dissipating more and more all the time. In fact, an expert that was recently interviewed by CNBC said that some parts of the world have already lost all their topsoil. And here in the United States, when the settlers originally came in and then people started to settle the Midwest extensively in the 1800s, they were greeted by a very, very thick layer of very rich, very dark topsoil that you could sink your hands into. I remember when I was a kid, even back in the 1970s, you could sink your hand into the soil and it was thick and it was rich and it was teeming with organisms. And you could tell, I mean, this is just incredibly fertile soil, even after all the decades of farming. But now that's changed, and it's changing all over the world because we've really pushed the limits of agriculture. And so scientists are telling us, and there are different numbers in terms of different insect populations, but we've lost a lot of our insects already. But scientists are telling us that by the end of this century, basically all the insects are going to be gone, of all types. So what are we going to do then when we can't pollinate our food at all? And what are we going to do then when the microorganisms and the little bugs in our soil that are so key for fertility, when they're all gone? How are we going to grow food?
I think the food collapse is a bigger issue from my perspective. I live in food production area, okay? And I can see chicken trucks going places filled with chickens suddenly as if they're going to destroy them. We've seen the thousands of head of cattle that suddenly woke up dead. I mean, they were just all dead with their hooves in the air all at once. That's not heat wave. Don't let them tell you that. This isn't weather. We've done cattle ranching and farming for generations here, and we don't see that in hot, humid weather. A few, but you don't see all the herd all dead uniformly, you know, hooves in the air. No, there's something going on there, whether it's a directed energy weapon or 5G, I don't know, but there's something. They're going after our food supply.
If we're coming into somewhere like I think we are, the whole known universe of grain deliveries is not going to be functioning as it used to. Now, having nickel not being delivered, big whoop, you know, you're talking about what, stainless steel. I can sleep without stainless steel, but basic food commodities I can't sleep with. Once the cat is out of the bag that the futures markets will no longer be, here's my contract, give me my grains, that malfunctions, it never comes back again. That I think would have far-reaching effects far beyond the agricultural arena. Everything else would be affected too. Precious metals, oh, we can't deliver. Force majeure. As soon as they call force majeure on corn or soybean this year, it is the end of the financial markets as you know them. Because from that point forward, all these mechanisms of fines kick in, and then what on the other end of the institutional buyer side where, oh, we can't guarantee that we can get you your product any longer. Let that sink in, how that will reverberate through all manufacturing from that point forward. If they're allowed to stick with that force majeure, just like Gazprom said force majeure for the natural gas, okay, we understand that. But what is going to be the reasoning for force majeure non-delivery on corn? There isn't. That's the whole thing. There won't be an excuse for it. There's not a war. And you can't say that the climate's going to be enough to force majeure on the corn. What happened to the carryover stocks? Where did it all go? That's going to be the question. And more importantly, from that point forward, what about every delivery month in succession? Will we get it? Will we not? That is really going to throw a lot of disruption into just regular business and manufacturing. Will we get it or not? The commodity that we have a contract for is forever going to be in jeopardy after that point.
But it's interesting to me that all the strikes, and I'm on record as stating that no trains will run, no planes will fly, and no trucks will run. What happens when that day comes? I think we're seeing the preparatory phases of that right now. The great agricultural states are watching the decimation of their herds, cattle, and the cost of feeding those herds. So in essence, what's cheap now disappears later.
The targeting we see of crop producing regions is so consistent that there is no chance that that is just a consequence of climate engineering. It has to be a target. And we're seeing the same thing across the board, either hail, flooding, high pressure heat dome, but at the critical points of crop production, they're being wiped out so systematically that we cannot attribute that to anything else other than objective.
The food scarcity already being felt around the world isn't an accident. Food scarcity is a weapon in the hands of governments and globalists. that now see human beings as useless eaters to be exterminated by the billions. While mRNA jabs are effective at killing off obedient first world citizens who are gullible enough to believe in the junk science of the vaccine industry, globalists know that the only way to significantly decrease third world populations is to shrink the global food supply and let famine do the rest. No matter where you live, we are all entering an era of engineered famine on a global scale for the purpose of achieving global genocide against the human race.
Our entire modern food supply is predicated on the availability of cheap fuel. And when that disappears, that entire food supply is going to completely collapse. Part of the reason that the food pyramid has that big chunk of carbohydrates in the bottom is because grains could be automated. So every aspect of planting, tending, cultivating, harvesting, processing, delivery, and packaging could all be automated with machines, which are basically running off of different, fossil fuels. The fertilizers came from natural gas. Everything else is running on diesel. That entire product, so most of the things in the grocery store, are actually just one different flavor or another of some type of petroleum or fossil fuel. As those prices increase, all of that food is going to get to become impossibly expensive.
The food collapse is very much part of a bigger war to conquer the world. It's part of sustainable development, quote unquote, aka technocracy. It's one of the main points in Agenda 2030. Let's face it, the way that we farm is very unsustainable and has been for many years. I learned that when I directed the film Vanishing of the Bees. But in America, there are these vast monocultures that are doused with pesticides and fungicides and herbicides that synergize together. It's all very unhealthy and toxic. And food is supposed to be sacred.
I'm seeing a lot of what I would call planned destruction at the food level as a whole, worldwide. Many countries are waging war against their own farming industry as we speak, shutting down farms, waging war against their own fertilizer industries, restricting the supply of fertilizer, or large train companies are doing something similar like that, restricting the supply of much needed fertilizer. Not to mention the planned attacks against the actual facilities processing, distributing, manufacturing the food itself. So there is a planned attack both at the private, the government, and the espionage levels.
Crop failures are partially man-made and partially natural. We are seeing some odd weather. But here's the thing, in past years, we've seen odd weather before. We've seen droughts. We've seen challenges that have affected crops, but nothing like what we're seeing today because we don't have the systems in place to correct it. We're faced with man-made problems such as the war in Ukraine, or more importantly, the sanctions that are being placed against Russia as a result of the war in Ukraine. We're seeing various other regulations that make no sense at all. We're seeing them pushing this green agenda that is destroying crops, destroying the ability for us to produce our own food. We have to ask ourselves why. I mean, what are they planning? And that's terrifying because that means that if we follow the path, where does this lead us? This leads us to the idea that they are trying to starve us and force us to be beholden on government, or more importantly, the public-private partnership between government and corporations to not only control the food, but to control us through food.
Even when food yields are good, the food is deliberately poisoned with GMOs, pesticides, and herbicides that are devastating to both human health and natural ecosystems. No other species on planet Earth poisons its food supply and then feeds that poison to its children. Only human beings do this. And they are trading short-term yields of today's crops with the collapse of the soil microbiology and pollinators that are necessary to produce next year's crops. So you get pesticide poisoning, ecological collapse, and eventual famine.
And it's clearly deliberate. Think of the Soviet Union and the kulaks, or starving the Georgians. You know, everybody seems to know the term Holocaust, but nobody seems to know the term Holodomor. We should know that. Look it up. It's about the Bolsheviks starving the Russians in Georgia and the Ukraine, and 20 million died, not 6 million. 20 million Russians died of starvation that was planned because of the civil war going on, and they wanted to stop the whites and they wanted to get control over the independent farmers. That's what happens. Ditto's the kulaks that owned, they were the most prosperous farmers in Russia, and they starved them to death. They wanted the land. They wanted to collectivize the land. It's right out of Agenda 2021, Agenda 2030.
Most of the people on planet Earth now, outside of certain areas, rely upon petrochemicals to fertilize and other toxic poisons to keep the crops alive and not being eaten by pests. Those are pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. Now, I would argue that's not the best food to be eating, but if that's all you got, it will keep you alive, maybe in some state of chronic disease. So if you shut that kind of production down overnight, you will have a food collapse, you will have mass starvation and rebellion. That's what Sri Lanka did. They converted to 100% apparently organic agriculture, stopped all the chemical fertilizers, got great ESG scores. In the meantime, there was no food to eat for most of the people. If you want to convert to organic, you've got to do it in a stair-step progression method. Have the people that are interested in it do it first. That's what has been going on in Freedom, while the rest of the rubes eat the chemically grown food. Even if I would argue it, they'd be better off eating organic, we can't convert to that level of agriculture overnight. That means everybody has to grow food, not just big agribusiness converting to organic farming. So that's another aspect of the, under the guise of good environmental policies and stewardship, we will make sure millions or billions of you die by starving you out, by claiming we're being good stewards of the environment to go organic.
It's sad that the world is moving backwards in its efforts to end hunger. The United Nations put out an article not too long ago saying that hunger is a good thing, because now it's a big F you in our faces. It's all hidden in plain sight. Apparently there's about 2.3 billion people that are having problems acquiring food. And even though we're supposedly more advanced, we're devolving at a steady clip.
I think this is a great opportunity for people to learn about the useful benefits of some of the invasive edible weeds, because they may be coming for our supply chain and our food supply itself. They may eventually even go door to door destroying food. I mean, that's what they did during the Holodomor in Ukraine not that long ago, historically. And that was a breadbasket of Europe, and they starved farmers to death in their own land. So expecting the worst, or at least preparing for the worst, hoping for the best, I suspect that we should probably be planting things that are hard to kill.
You see, they always forewarn us about what's going to happen. And then some people listen and most people don't hear. They're already talking about food shortages here. I believe one way to bring the people to their knees and become dependent on the system would be to starve them, would be to cut off their food supply, cut off their water supply. You know, maybe engineer some kind of a crisis along those lines. But what's going to happen is always the same. Once a major crisis hits, the first thing people do is run to the stores and they clean them out. And this will be in a matter of hours. You will see within 2 days, there'll be nothing left on the shelves, and there'll be no way to restock those shelves either.
See the writing on the wall. The big story of our entire lifetime would be the energy supply right now, because the energy issue is a kill shot. Nitrogen-based fertilizers are created using the Haber-Bosch process, and most of us would not be here without the Haber-Bosch process. And so if the process of creating nitrogen-based fertilizers is seriously interrupted, then we're going to see massive famines. You know, I keep telling people white people famine, and the reason I say white people famine is I want to make it crystal clear. We're talking about starving to death. We're not talking about food crisis. We're not talking about high prices. We're talking about debt, and there's just not going to be enough food, period.
The realization is slowly sinking in. The mechanized, centralized, chemicalized food system that has fed the global population explosion for a century is coming to an end. Some of that end is a result of a systems collapse, but other factors include deliberate sabotage, weather weaponization, and the climate-led attacks on energy resources that make modern farming possible. The world we are all about to face is a world of forced food decentralization, scarcity, and food inflation. Growing some portion of our own food will no longer be a hobby. It will be a survival necessity. The food revolution begins in our own backyards. It's time for humanity to get growing.
For so long, our big agricultural farming has been so over-chemicalized, it's nearly destroyed our soils. In the name of how do we squeeze every last ounce out of the harvest, we've been using things that we haven't recognized are absolutely destructive to our health. There may be some evil, maniacal monsters that have known from the beginning that these things will destroy people. And, you know, I'd love to not believe that. I think I'm past that point. I think there are people that are bent on our destruction. You can't bring a medical planned crisis like this with a food shortage and an energy shortage and then a collapse of the financial system if you don't have an end goal in mind. Why are they doing this? It really is because they either want to kill you or enslave you. But in either way, I don't want to be their victim.
The CDC and the FDA may have one time been honorable agencies, but they've all been taken over by corporate entities who do the exact opposite of what they should be doing. So they certainly cannot be trusted. In fact, there's about a dozen ingredients in food in America that the FDA has approved that if you put them in food in China, you'll go to jail for 15 years. That's pretty remarkable. So how can the FDA be trusted about vaccines when there's a dozen ingredients that they openly say are, quote, safe for Americans to swallow, but if you put them in food in other countries, you would go to jail?
There's a lot of the supply chain breakages that have happened in the last few years. For instance, the Russia-Ukraine war, the COVID lockdowns, things like that, they might be temporary. And they might be reversible. But there's, you know, right now there's all kinds of weather related stuff going on, which will not be easily reversible. And it's completely possible that the trade battles that we've seen over the last few years also won't be easily reversed because we'll be so mad at each other that it won't be able to go back to normal. And meanwhile, in the US, you've got the weird spectacle of food processing plants blowing up or catching on fire or having airplanes fall on them, just a really high number. It's 30, I guess now, something like that at the time of this recording. And that's going to make it hard for us to get back to food normality going forward.
I think we're heading into a perfect storm that is simply unavoidable. And I think the good news is that the system does need to be reset. And I think God wants to reset the system. I just don't want the New World Order, Klaus Schwab, and a bunch of those cronies to be the ones in charge of it. And I don't want to be enslaved by their designs. And so I think we have a choice right now. The harsh reality, I mean, truth in packaging laws, I think this is going to be a lot longer than we would like. I think everybody is wondering, you know, when will we get back to normal? And I just want it to be over. And that's a desperate place to be in if that's your focus, because I don't think those folks will make it through. I think you need to realize this is going to last longer than we would like. And I do believe it's going to be more severe than we're prepared for.
The next episode of Breaking Point is Chapter 3, Energy Collapse. There, we discuss the deliberate dismantling of the global energy infrastructure that powers farms, heats homes, and runs national economies. It's all being torn down in the name of climate compliance. And if the deliberate destruction isn't stopped, it will mean the end of Western civilization as we know it. Watch for Breaking Point, Chapter 3, on Brighteon.com and other video platforms. Join Brighteon.social to take part in the discussions among like-minded people who see what's coming and are prepared to survive it. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for watching. Feel free to repost this episode on your own channels on other platforms. Almost no one tests their products for glyphosate, but we do at the Health Ranger store. We test for glyphosate for every incoming production lot and finished production batch of products, and we put those symbols right on our website so you know it's been glyphosate tested using an ISO-accredited in-house laboratory, triple quad mass spec instrumentation, sensitive down below one part per billion. We test and confirm that everything is safe and pure and authentic so that you can trust our products to protect your health. HealthRangerStore.com, over 700 products for healthy living and healthy home. Lab tested, heavy metals, glyphosate, microbiology, and much more. Check it all out at HealthRangerStore.com.